Joining us right now on the Infinity Sports Network is Jonathan Casillas, a two-time Super Bowl champion. Thanks for making some time for us today. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me, Danielle.
Talk about the schedule first. I mean, the Chargers, you look at what they're doing this football season. They are traveling the most miles in the league across back and forth, 42 different time zones this season, international games. I mean, there's no way the Chargers can be happy about this. I know they're not going to come out and say that, but at what point, Jonathan, as a player, could all of this traveling, how could it affect you and your play?
Oh, it's a lot, you know, because most football players, they like routine, you know, and when you're traveling, you know, I mean, saying 42 time zones sounds insane. But even like a West Coast trip from an East Coast team, that throws your entire routine off, because sometimes you might travel a day early. You might travel 2 days early. You might go out there, for 2 weeks. You know, you might stay out on the West Coast for 2 weeks, and that throws off your routine. And the NFL players, we're all creatures of habit. You know, we like to do the same thing almost every single week, almost every single day. And it definitely throws you off. But if that's what you're used to, if you're used to change, then it's not that much difference. You know, like, I don't know how much the Chargers have traveled in the past, but I know Seattle, being in the West, in the Northwest, where they're from, they make a habit of planning those 2 week trips where they have, you know, two teams on the East Coast, a Florida team probably, and the East and a Northeast team, and they stay out for 2 weeks. And I know they've done that in the past. I don't know what the Chargers have been doing in the past, but if that's something that they've done, then they'll be able to handle it, you know. And it's up to the players to go ahead and say, you know, it is what it is, and go out there and be ready for every game anyway.
You know, different sleep patterns. I mean, I go 3 hours to Las Vegas and I'm up at 5 a.m. just my body clock. I mean, are you worried at all that the travel as a player could lead to injury, being off your routine, you know, and all that goes with it?
I think that's something that's definitely considered, you know, like at the end of the day, like I said, creatures of habit, but then also that sleep rhythm, right? Getting that really good sleep. Sleep is paramount when you talk about recovery, especially them short weeks. You know, I know the Chargers got Thursday games, you know, which, Danielle, I hate. I've always hated Thursday games. You know, playing a linebacker position, I felt like I was always beat up, you know, and you don't really, like, feel great until, like, Friday, you know, before the game. And, you know, Thursday games are a day before Friday. So, you know, they definitely take care of you schedule-wise in terms of each team specifically and what they do for practice. But, I mean, it's just so hard to bounce back from, you know, playing on, let's say, a Sunday night or even Sunday during the day, and then playing 4 days later. Like, mentally is hard, physically is very difficult, but every team, you know, I don't know if every team has a Thursday night game, but, you know, most teams in the last few years have played on Thursday night, and it's definitely something to adjust to.
Talking with Jonathan Casillas, two-time Super Bowl champion. Yeah, the flip side of that is that the Bengals, they don't travel many miles. The Bills, I looked at it myself, they traveled through just two time zones. What kind of competitive advantage then does the schedule lend to those teams?
Well, like I said, you got guys on the rhythm, you know, they're a lot more rhythmic, you know, in their schedule, you know, and the sleep patterns, that's very crucial. I've done the London trip, you know, that I struggled because I couldn't sleep on the plane, you know, and when we landed, we basically landed in went right to practice, and I went to practice with no sleep. I took a sleep pill, and I didn't go to sleep, and I felt horrible, and it basically took like 2 or 3 days to bounce back from that. So I would think that's how some of the West Coast teams feel, you know, coming to the East Coast, maybe doing a 2 week trip, whatever have you. It takes time to adjust your body, you know. The jet lag is there, you know, and if you really can't sleep the first couple of nights, then, you know, you're gonna suffer when comes game time.
I also can't sleep on planes, so I totally sympathize with you. The NFL spring meetings, funny question I guess, but just because your team can't do it, is it fair to even want to ban the tush push?
You know what? So the game they played against the Commanders, when the Commanders kept jumping off sides.
Yes.
I was sitting there like on the Commander's side, like good. Like, you know, at least you have something to get them out of doing that. Because when you're that close and as a defense, it's half to the goal. But we're talking about
I
inches, right? We're talking about 3 inches, 4 inches, right? 2 inches, and it keeps going down. So you're not really losing that much. But the advantage, if you can jump at the snap of the ball and time it up correctly, that can be very huge for the defense. What I didn't like was when how they were going to penalize the Commanders. And I'm like, bro, like, come on, like. I understand the tush push. It's almost an unstoppable play. There are like what 95 success rates, 95% success rate. It's insane. For me, if you can't stop it, then so be it. I'm not for it. I don't like the Eagles at all, but they figured out a play that's almost unstoppable, and it literally changes the way they approach, like they're not looking at, hey, it's third and one. We have to do certain things. No. We got third and one and fourth and one. Like, their whole concept of how they play the first, second, third down is different than any other team in the league because they got one of the highest success rate plays that's ever been created. So I definitely tip my hat off to them, but I just don't like how the defense would get penalized or they would allow them to get a touchdown because the defense felt had a creative way to stop it.
My favorite was I was watching that game and the referee came out. He's like, "Okay, if this continues, we're gonna have to award points." And I'm sitting there going, like, "Why?"
Hey, Daniel, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I'm like, all right, they figured out a way to at least slow them down and possibly go to another play, right? Because they're just not getting anywhere and they just keep taking penalty or whatever the case is after, play after play after play. And then for them to say they'll award them points, and I'm just like, all right, maybe there has to be a change, but you can't give nobody points in the NFL. I don't think that was right for them to try to even attempt to do that.
Okay, as far as the playoffs, three seed all playoff teams in the divisional round based on records. Is it a good idea?
I mean that basically goes against what the NFL has stood for forever, right? The goal at the beginning of the year for all teams is to win in your division. It's not to go to the playoffs. It's to win in your division because when you win your division, you host the home playoff game. That's how it's always been, at least for as long as I've been alive, and how they've been doing with all the divisions. And that's something that for me, if they change that, it changes the whole dynamic of how teams are being, playing games later in the season. If you're locked up, if you win a division, there are certain things you can do, especially how the season is now, where they got still 4 quarters. And if you're doing 4 games a quarter, you got a bonus game at the end. That bonus game at the end, it's a very vital game. Week 18 games, those last 17, the 17th game, which is always week 18, like those last week games, they've over time since they added that extra game, they've been crucial to playoff seeding. And that changes everything if you start doing it how the records are, instead of having division winners actually get automatic bids.
You won two Super Bowls. Would you have liked to played Olympic flag football too?
That would be awesome, and honestly, Danielle, I use that to some of these young girls that I talk to in terms of flag football. They have an opportunity that men that play tackle football and young boys that play tackle football never have a chance to do. Football, American football is literally American football. And yes, you got the CFL and you got other countries playing it, but it's not world renowned. Flag football is world renowned now. Like everybody's starting to play it, and it's a huge sport that's taken off. And I don't know if tackle football is for everyone, but flag football is. And I definitely commend everyone for pushing flag football to the forefront because it's a small taste of what you get with American football.
Funny you say that because I just finished my season, my first season as flag football coach myself. I took over a team that had one win over the last two seasons. We won three games, should have been four, but that's neither here nor there. But I'm in it with the girls, and I'm trying to, change the program around and stuff. So yeah, thanks for that little shout. Have you come to practice next season?
Absolutely. I didn't know you were coaching.
Yeah, it
I'm
was.
definitely willing. And I'm learning too. I'm learning. I just did a clinic with the Giants this past weekend, and one of the girls went by and she had the ball like loose like this, running around, and I popped it out her hand. And the girls are like, "You can't do that." I was like, "Why not?" They was like, "You literally can't touch the ball." I was like, Well, you learn something new every day. Like I don't know the rules of flag football because as a tackle football player, that ball loose, I'm going for it every single time. But it's like I said, it's a beautiful game. It's not the same, of course, as regular tackle football. football, but it has the same dynamics. You know, receivers making spectacular catches, defensive backs, you know, showing athleticism, quarterbacks making sure they do the right things with the ball. You know, running backs, you're not going to see the violent collisions, which I think is beneficial to a lot of people that are very wary of, you know, the violence and the different CTEs and the different injuries that regular tackle football players have. You know, there's always collisions in every sport, you know, basketball, soccer, you know, like those, because you got fast bodies running in space and you could definitely have collisions, but it's not like football or rugby where you're literally every play somebody's going down to the ground, right?
Right. As far as the NFL, which the rule is going to be one player from each team is going to be allowed. So if it's Patrick Mahomes, it can't be someone else. So from the Chiefs. So like, who are the top three players you'd want to see out there playing in the Olympics for Team USA?
I think number one, you got to put Lamar Jackson out there, baby. You know, like Lamar Jackson, how special he is, how he can throw the football down the field, and then, you know, I think they can run the ball,
They
right?
can.
As the quarterback position. I mean, who you want running the football to throw in a, you know, the thrower of the football running the football besides Lamar Jackson? And we love Patrick Mahomes, but he's not the ball carrier that Lamar Jackson is. So I definitely would like to see him. And then look, let's go with the Triple Crown. You know, Ja'Marr Chase. You know, he's a guy that has emerged as one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver. I mean, last year he was the best receiver in the NFL. And then Travis Kelce's getting a little bit older. How about Laporta, the Detroit Lions tight end? So you got a nice active quarterback who's probably the most elusive rushing quarterback we've ever seen play the position, Lamar Jackson. Ja'Marr Chase, one of those top LSU receivers in the last 5 or 10 years. And then Laporta, who has kind of also taken, you know, what Travis Kelce did to another level with that Ben Johnson offense for the Lions have for the last few years.
Cool. I like it. I'm behind it. I'm with it. Looking ahead to the season, in either a good way or in a bad way, which team do you think is going to surprise people this year?
I think the Giants, you know, and I'm being a little biased, of course, because I cover them a lot, but I also see what people are expecting of them. You know, I think the win total is like 6.5, you know, and not to say that's a slap in the face because it's not. The Giants only had 3 wins last year, you know, but I think the Giants will surprise some people. I hope they do better in division, which they need to do better in division. Going 0-6 in the division last year was not good, but people aren't really expecting too much from them, and I think they will surprise some people, you know, especially if they get off to a good start. It is a very difficult schedule. So again, I think that's the reason why people are not expecting too much from the Giants. And they do have a gauntlet in the middle of the season from after that Thursday night football game at home against the Eagles to right after the bye week. They go 2 months, Danielle, with only two home games. Like that is a gauntlet if I ever saw one. You know, in the schedule, they got, you know, the Chiefs, you know, Sunday night football, you know, like week three, the first home game, like. The Giants have a gauntlet, but that 2 month span is going to be crazy. But I do think the Giants will surprise some people this year, if they, especially what I think their defense could get to with bringing in Abdul Carter and all the other pieces that they bought in free agency and through the draft. And then on the other side of it, we're going to stay in the same division, the Eagles. I hope the Eagles surprise some people and not be as good as they are because the Eagles are loaded. And I hope they don't win as many games. I hope everybody stay healthy. But I hope that they lose a lot more games than they win this year. I know I'm kind of asking for a lot, but it would definitely help the Giants out if the Eagles aren't as good as they have been.
Yeah, no doubt. You think the NFC is going to be the toughest or most competitive division?
You have speculation in the beginning, just like the Giants have going into 2025, the hardest schedule going in, but you never know how teams are actually going to pan out during a year, you know? You never knew, like 3 years ago when the Giants went to the playoffs, you never knew they were going to start so well that year. You know, I think they were 6-1 in the first 7 games. Like, who would have thought that? You know, and then, you know, not winning a game for a while last year. I don't think anybody thought that either. You know, so it's a surprise every single year. I think the NFC East is a very competitive division, and you got two of the NFC championship team representatives coming from the NFC East with Dallas. You know, they took a step back last year, but, you know, added in a couple pieces that they added. I don't see them not being good this year.
I know. You look at the Commanders and the Eagles, the NFC Championship, and you're like, oh man, they're in our division. That stinks. So you know, you're part of it. You know how Giants fans are. You know how the media outlets are. You mentioned it, the toughest schedule in the league by far. Jonathan Casillas, what do you want them to know going into this season now?
Well, the season hasn't started yet. So the good thing is the Giants are undefeated right now, right? That's the good thing about it. But it starts with the Commanders on the road in Dallas week two. So the Giants got two division games in a row to start the season with. And I've been adamant about this for a while. The Giants have to do better in the division, you know, and you know, it sucks that, you know, you start the season off with two division games on the road. You know, but for me, I love going to Dallas week one to start the season. When I played for the Giants 2015, 16, and 17, we did just that. We went on the road and played at Dallas Sunday night football, the first game of the season. And when the schedule comes out, that's when you start looking forward to playing the Commanders, right? For the Giants this year. Like, you're literally, this is how I approach to it. Every rep I do in the offseason is going towards the Commanders week one. Every rep I do, every squad I do. A couple years ago, not a couple, when I played several years ago, we had, I guess at the time it was the Oakland Raiders. They had Marshawn Lynch at running back, right? I know what Marshawn Lynch brings to the table and in that hole, right? So literally, I was deadlifting the most I ever was, thinking about Marshawn Lynch every deadlift I did, you know, like, because you gotta really bring it. So, you know, for me, I just want the guys, you know, the Giants. For me, I don't have expectations on them. I'm just really trying to take it one week at a time. And they are going against a very talented Commanders team in week one. And if the Giants can go ahead and put up a good fight, win the game, I think that'll have some people like, oh, okay, what can the Giants actually do this season? Because I think everybody's thinking that the Commanders are going to be pretty respectable this year.
Jonathan Abdul Carter, you mentioned him. Third overall pick. I mean, he was the one I wanted for the Giants. I think they did a really good job picking him. The number controversy. He's 51. I know you were 52. I mean, I don't know. To me, I'm like, how do you pick up the phone and call Lawrence Taylor? How do you then ask Phil Sims? I'm with Lawrence. Pick your own number and make it yours, man. Come on.
I'm with LT too, but what I don't want to do, and I kind of equal this to like my daughter, right? You know, sometimes she's like, she challenges me, you know, kind of like, you know, a little talk back, but like questioning the things I tell her. The thing is, I never want to take that away from her. You know, of course, I think it could be phrased better, right? But him being bold, him being very confident in his abilities, I don't want to take that away from him. Was it the right way to do it? Maybe not. You know what I mean? Maybe not do it publicly. You know, maybe go to Lawrence Taylor behind scenes and ask him, you know, respectably, hey, Mr. Taylor, sir, right? You know, it would be an honor for me to wear your jersey. And then, of course, Lawrence Taylor would have been like, no, you know, but still. And I respect Lawrence Taylor's answer. And I believe what he said. Go out and get your own number and make it famous, you know, and it's going to have some work to do because that was Mr. Zach Diossi's number for a long time, you know, and of course he was the longtime Giants captain, long snapper. But that's the great thing about numbers, you know. The Yankees got, I don't know how many, 24, 25, 26 retired numbers. I think the Giants are like that 13 or 12 or 13 numbers or something like that. The great thing about numbers is they mean something to people, especially the fans, you know. So why not go out and get your own number and put your own stamp on that number? And I love what Lawrence Taylor said. I mean, if Lawrence Taylor is going to tell us anybody to do anything, I think we're all going to listen anyway.
Agreed. Final question on the Giants. I know you finished your career here in New York. How do you think Jackson Dart is going to progress under Dable? Probably not going to play, you know, this season, but I'm looking at it going, okay, tell me how this works. They've got two veteran quarterbacks on the roster, on the depth chart, and then you got Dart. How do the reps break down once the season starts? I'm worried about the amount of opportunities he's going to be given to succeed.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I love the opportunity that sits in front of Jackson Dart. You know, there's no pressure on him whatsoever to play this year. You know, and you look at Cam Ward and what Tennessee, all the pressure's on him. And he has to come in and be a leader of men that are not just men. These are alpha men. These are guys with families and kids and businesses and you know, car notes and house notes, right? And as a quarterback, you are the leader of the team, you know, and Jackson Dart can sit back and watch two, I think, really great leaders at the quarterback position, in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Russell Wilson's on a 1-year deal. You know, it's a lot of pressure on him just like there's a lot of pressure on a lot of quarterbacks throughout the NFL, but he's a Super Bowl champion. He's a guy that's been to Pro Bowls. He's been all pro. You know, a few years ago, he was up for the MVP conversation. You know, so why not have the pressure on him to actually get this Giants, organization back to relevancy? And then also you got Jameis Winston. You know, I think the Giants did a good job, and not only one, securing the quarterback room, but number two, securing the quarterback of the future with no pressure on him actually being exposed in his rookie year, as every single rookie will be, because you don't know, you're not a pro yet, so you don't know what it is to be a pro. That's regardless of position. The difference between quarterback is there's not another position that basically holds you up as the leader. There's no other position that does that. It's only the quarterback position. So I love the way they attack offseason this year with bringing in the veteran quarterbacks, and then also drafting Jackson Dart coming back into the first round so they can secure that fifth year option. I love the way they did that. And then also, let's say Russell Wilson has a pretty good year this year. Russell Wilson's playing for his future in the NFL. He's only on a 1 year deal. You know, the Giants, I don't think, are going to even think about re-signing him, even if he has a great year, because you got Jackson Dart and you got Jameis Winston on a 2 year deal. So if everything works out, Russell Wilson has a good year, Giants sneak into the playoffs, they might win a playoff game, whatever the case is, right? This is me, you know, fantasizing, Danielle, and me being real optimistic. But let's say everything goes well. Now you have Russell Wilson, you know, basically being a free agent as a top tier quarterback still. He kind of revived, you know, that kind of, where has Russell been lately? You know, with the Denver and the year with the Steelers. That's my dog. Sorry, he's like right there. You know, and then the following year, which is 2026, that offseason, you got Jameis Winston and you got Jackson Dart to compete for the starting job. And Jameis Winston, he's a competitor, you know. So I think Jackson Dart's gonna have to bring his lunch pail to go and, you know, try to go ahead and get that starting job in year two.
Talk to me about the Jonathan Casillas forward progress camp. I mean, 10 years you've been doing it. What have you learned from year one to even now?
Great question. So when we first started, the whole idea was I wanted to do a football camp, but we wanted to deliver a message. We wanted to be able to get these kids in the classroom first, which we were built off of, you know. So the way my camp is structured, and we've evolved from being, I think, either four or six life skill sessions in the morning to now we have eight life skill sessions where the kids come in and they get a nice keynote speaker right away. And then we literally take them to classrooms where they have eight different instructors teaching about different life skills, right? And as time goes on, depending on what's happening socially, you know, with COVID, we had to make adjustments, and we would tailor what we were talking about depending on what's going on in the world. But we've had guys who are like kind of our resident instructors. New Brunswick Fire Department, they come in and they speak about safety. The New Brunswick Police Department, they come in, they talk about police interaction. We always have a social media influencer to come in and talk about the do's and don'ts about social media. Jonathan Vilma, he's our resident public speaker instructor. So, you know, he does Fox 5. I won a Super Bowl with him back in 2009. Very intelligent guy. And he gets the kids, he puts them up in front, and, you know, he has them talk to the whole class. And we've evolved to being not just me delivering my message, but grabbing different, you know, influencers and different people that have success from different walks of life to come in and deliver messages for these kids, not just for football, but for young men and for young women, to help them in school, to help them to be leaders in their neighborhood, to help them, you know, be good sons and good daughters, be good brothers and good sisters. Because I don't care, not I don't care if they go to the NFL, but this is not the reason why I did my camp. My camp was always to help out the kid be more confident, to have some motivation, some inspiration, to inspire these kids, to empower these kids. And that's what we've been, that's what we've been for 10 years. And this year, Danielle, we actually, this was the huge learning thing that we've had the last few years, because we have basically sixth graders all the way up to 12th graders, and we have all inclusive. So we've been had girls involved in our camp back in 2013, since the first time we've ever done it. And we also have kids that are in self-contained classes, you know, kids that might be physically not able as the next, you know, kid that's physically abled. And we encourage them, And the great thing about it is our kids, Daniel, they're so awesome. You got older, more experienced kids literally helping these kids, put their line, their hand on the ground and run a 40, literally watching them, take on blocks. But what I feel like we haven't done, we haven't had a competitive environment for the more experienced athlete, right? They've been great helping us
Right.
help the younger kids, helping the non-experienced football player. But now we added an extra day to basically give them more of an experienced competitive camp. So we have actually 2 days this year. The first day being the camp that it's always been, an inclusive camp, highlighting girls flag football because that's the like number one, sport in the country, not the country, in the world right now, right?
Love it.
And
Love it.
we're highlighting them on June 7th, Saturday, and the following day we partner with Sumer Sports, who's been in the NFL, who's been in the college, and now they're starting to get into high school football. We're basically bringing a combine style clinic to these kids. And Sumer Sports are going to provide every single athlete that signs up for the elite camp recruiting profile. They're going to bring lasers. So now we're going to have laser timed 40-yard dash, vertical jump, broad jump, short shuttle, biometrics. We're going to take them through drills. We're bringing back one-on-ones, and we're bringing back 7-on-7. So like now we're tailoring it specifically for the younger kids, the not so developed kids, and also girls flag football. And then the second day we're having what we call an elite camp for the more experienced football players. So we've learned over the years kind of what we need to do to better service our kids. And that's what you come to. 10th year for the Jonathan Casillas Forward Progress Camp. Now, this is the first year we're doing the Jonathan Casillas Forward Progress Elite Camp. Sorry, that's a lot to say. But hey, I want my name to be a part of this because we're doing something different than what I've seen from any other camp out there.
Well, Jonathan, you got a captive audience. How do people register for it?
ForwardProgressCamp.com. And if you go through it, they're going to give you a series of questions, and depending on how you answer them, you're either going to get directed to the 10th annual camp or you're going to get directed to the elite camp. But both is under the same website, forwardprogresscamp.com. Information is on the website. We got some cool pictures from throughout the years, and you could register through there.
Awesome. Well, Jonathan, thanks so much for taking some time today. Saturday, I already put it in my notes, June 7th, Saturday, for the girls one. I might be there for that.
Let's go, baby.
All right. Well, then hopefully I'll see you soon within 2 weeks. And thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.